what you absolutely should do is be across the architecture of the marketing. So like an architect draws the plans for a house, you should be across the plans for your marketing, because once again, no one's ever going to care as much as you as the business owner.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. In today's episode, we're having a conversation with Christo Hall, the founder and CEO of Basic Bananas. Christo and his team at Basic Bananas really are a clever bunch. These guys know marketing inside out. They understand both the art and the science of marketing. Christo's background is really rich and diverse. He started off life as a professional surfer and from there developed a whole range of surfing products, which he learned through necessity how to market. From there, he was being asked to teach others his marketing secrets and his marketing knacks, and from that grew Basic Bananas. Christo and his wife Francisca run Basic Bananas, which is a business that helps and teaches other small businesses how to be really effective in their marketing. We had a wonderful conversation today, and Christo's been visiting Canberra, so hopefully he's not frozen too much. It's a bit colder than what he's used to, but we covered a whole variety of different areas. We spoke a lot about the common mistakes that people make with their marketing, and most importantly, how to avoid them or how to remedy them. We spoke a lot about, you know, crowded marketplaces and how to stand out so that you get noticed in the marketplace and you're not just another practice trying to compete on price or trying to say we do the same as everyone else but better or differently, or whatever it happens to be. We also went through some of the best and worst advice that Christo's heard in his rounds as a marketer and things that, you know, he's busted some myths about. So in this conversation, we're going to be sharing all that and a whole lot more. I really hope you enjoy today's conversation. It's one I've been looking forward to bringing you for quite a while because I've been following Christo around the internet for a number of years now. He's a really nice guy, really smart, savvy dude. As always, have a pen and paper handy because I know you're going to want to take some notes because Christo drops some absolute marketing gold. So without any further ado, here's Christo Hall. Christo Hall from Basic Bananas, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's so good to have you here. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, mate. Good to be here.
Yeah, look, I've been looking forward to this podcast for a really long time, I have to say, because I've been seeing you around the internet for ages now, and we've got a couple of mutual friends and colleagues, and so your name often crops up in conversation. So I've been really hanging out for this chat, actually. I'm really keen. But, mate, what I wanted to just quickly do is you've got a really interesting background. Obviously, you started off life as a professional surfer, which is immensely cool. And then, of course, you've gone into marketing, which is also immensely cool. But I'm curious how you made the transition from surfing to marketing. I wonder if you can fill some of the backstory a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, surfing is what I'm still very much passionate about to do with every spare second I have. Surfing is definitely, how I like to spend my time. And back in the day, I was just very fortunate, to have some natural ability for something I'm very much passionate about doing, and got to do it and kind of live the dream for a while. But I always kind of had inside me this entrepreneurial thing. Like, I've always done little ventures, and even back when I was competing on the surfing circuit, I would run little like surf coaching camps and squads for young, up and coming elite kids that want to be professionals and so on. And the exciting part for me, it's kind of, I think the competitive thing from surfing rolls across to marketing and kind of the world of marketing and sales pretty well, because I kind of like to win in a way, and I like measurable stuff.
Completely, yeah.
And so it's like the marketing kind of, I still get to feel that little drive inside me, like, hey, let's push out this campaign and let's see, if we get a win or not, see the results of it. I like those kind of tangible things, and marketing that very much keeps that excited. I think it's, well, for me, it's the most exciting part of any business. It's trying something and seeing a return come. So I bought like a business that felt like the first real business was called Softboards Australia. So back when I finished competing on the surfing circuit with Softboards Australia, we produced learner surfboards that we sold to surf schools. And so my role was pretty much keep the thing alive, keep the sales coming into that. And that was about 14 years ago. And so I recognize the importance of marketing the business. If it didn't, you know, if I didn't get new life into the business, it was going to die pretty quickly. So, you know, in the winters, it was very good in summer, but it was a very seasonal business. So my role was keep the thing alive because no one else is going to, you know, break their back trying. So that's kind of where my marketing journey started. I guess the transition from there, then helping others with their marketing and people asking me how I've done stuff. I sold that business about 8 years ago, and that's when pretty much just went full time into marketing. But lots of other ventures that we did and surf products and sold. And I guess back in the day when I was a surfer, I was kind of like a marketing strategy. I look back and I think, well, I was a marketing tool for brands like Billabong, who were my sponsors, but I'm still a bit of a tool, just a different style.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, come on, mate. Mate, that's fantastic. And of course, you had your personal brand in amongst all that as well. You know, the Christo Hull surfer would have been a brand in and of itself, I'm guessing. And that's what Billabong were kind of piggybacking onto, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It helped the softboard business, obviously, because it's a surf-related business and I had some sort of, you know, some name and credibility there, which helped us push that business out. And then other surf products. We did some manufacturing in China of some other products and surf labels. And then some other people, like, it just kind of one thing evolved to the next. We did some great marketing. People asked us about it. A private college, a couple of actually colleges started, one in particular asked, which was a coaching school, and said, hey, can you teach what you're doing in your marketing to our students? And then I started teaching, and then they started coming to me saying, hey, can you help me more with this? And then it just sort of like snowballed from there.
Yeah. It sounds like a real evolution. And I'm curious, actually, mate, it sounds almost as though your marketing experience started almost out of necessity with the first surf business there. And one of my thoughts around that is there's a lot of dentists who'll be listening to this show, of course, and they're probably thinking, oh my goodness, now I'm in the position where I have to market. So, you know, same sort of boat. For me to thrive and survive as a practice, a dental practice, I need to kind of get my head around marketing. And I'm also of the view that, you know, dentists in particular, they're in the business of marketing, selling and delivering dental care. And I'm sure that's similar for almost other businesses, you know, to substitute dental care for whatever, accounting, law firms or, you know, whatever. But not everyone kind of shares the interest in marketing that, you know, certainly you have and I have. And what would you say to business owners in that vein? Is it something they just have to get interested in or can they skirt around it?
I would say you have to get into it. Like, some, you don't have to do everything though, because people get turned off by it. Like, there's certain things within the marketing that you should and shouldn't do. Like, you should play to your strengths. However, what you absolutely should do is be across the architecture of the marketing. So like an architect draws the plans for a house, you should be across the plans for your marketing, because once again, no one's ever going to care as much as you as the business owner. And it's a pretty important part of the business, you know, the part that generates growth. So you need to be like the architect to draw the plans for a house, but the architect wouldn't go and lay the bricks, for example. They might understand what the bricks should look like though, and might know how long they might take to lay and maybe even the cost roughly, but they don't lay the bricks. Like, so there'll be certain online programs and things for some business owners. It'd be a terrible idea to go and try and work out how to work to make those ads appear, or work out how to click where to click in some program. If you're not into it, you don't need to do it, but you need to understand how it all fits together. I do believe your marketing education equals your income. Like, it will, it's not, you know, an exact science. However, that typically the more you learn when it comes to marketing, how to get your brand in front of more faces, well, then your revenue goes up. So, you know, and as I said before, no one will ever care as much as you. So, like, even when we do the most savviest marketing campaigns with any business that we work with, it always still requires the business owner's brains. Like, we might know where to put what and when and what ingredients and how to overcome objections and, you know, appeal to people's desires and things, but we need to extract the information around the products and so on from the business owner. And the business owner knows the customers better than we ever will, because they speak to them day in, day out. So it can't just be ignored. Otherwise, you know, I'm very certain you'll end up paying more out than you ever needed to, which might make it hard to ever recoup a return. And yeah, if you want to be growing, you better be dedicating some focus on growth activities. You know, makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. So, you know, given that we know that, you know, marketing is critical for growth, and, you know, just about every business I can think of is keen to grow, but, you know, there's a whole lot of marketing advice out there, and you know, people have tried this or done that, and I'm sure you've had businesses come to you and all the thousands of people you work with and consult with. What do you see from a small business perspective as the most common mistakes that happen time and time again for small businesses when it comes to their marketing? Where are people putting their feet in the wrong place?
Yeah, there's a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, I know. But
to try and define like most common and things that would resonate with people on the call is what could then happen is people dive into the marketing without any kind of plan before they rip in. Like when we do things in marketing, we're always doing things in sequence. Everything is done as part of a sequence. So if you're going to outlay, you know, any money or time on marketing, you're going to be spending one or the other to make something happen. We want to look at what's the every sequence that people could take from this campaign or this upgrade to whatever area of the marketing we're looking at. What's the whole plan? And from start to finish, like what do we want to see as a result? Are there opportunities, you know, for upsells, onsells, to add more value, to position you as their advisor forevermore and so on? Whereas people tend to just dive into a marketing without any plan to the approach. Like it's sort of scattered. It's like, oh, we'll try this thing over here. And it's like we're looking for, you know, for the magic pill, and we might spend money on a platform. Someone says we'll get in front of 100,000 people, but that, you know, it's like one little piece of the pie. You might attract some leads, but then you need to know how to convert them and so on. And so then they run to the next thing, the next shiny thing, and the next shiny thing. And it's this real scattered approach versus simply following a structured plan. Because, like, let's face it, marketing's confusing. There's not exact, we want to bring as much measurement as possible to everything we do. But there are going to be things which are still hard to measure, like you upgrade your branding and so on. You can't say, oh, that'll exactly result in 10% increase in sales. So it's confusing enough as it is. So we want to bring as much structure to it and understand that things are going to happen in sequence. Like it's not just a one-off magical thing we do overnight that makes it rain and pour customers. It's a sequence of things that we put in place. That's a huge mistake, just kind of running around with this scattered approach without ever having a structured plan in place there at all to what they're doing. So I'd say, you know, you need a plan, you need a bit, probably a bit of guidance, so you can save yourself a hell of a lot of time as well at the same time.
Yeah, that's really, I think, really important because, again, you know, speaking to lots of dentists, they're usually asking, you know, what's the one thing I can do to guarantee, you know, my appointment books are full of patients. And of course, there is no one thing, there is no magic pill or magic bullet. And so that's then, yeah, that happens all the time. And the other thing that seems to happen a lot, Christo, in dentistry, and again, you might see it in other markets as well, is some of the marketing that gets pushed out is really vanilla. It's kind of like, I'm the same as everyone else, but I'm either cheaper or I'm better. And I always think that's a fairly uninspiring marketing approach to sort of say, look, we do exactly the same as them, but we're cheaper, which, you know, of course, that only lasts so long before someone goes cheaper again and it's a race to the bottom. But equally, same with the same as them, but better. What do you, have to say around that kind of methodology and what would be the antidote to that?
We see it a lot. Obviously, lots of industries, they tend to, I'm sure it's very common in the dentist kind of industry where people, when they go to market, they look at what else is out there. And just because something else is out there and your competitors are doing it does not mean it's working for them. Often people just put out marketing without any idea of tracking and measuring it. So it doesn't necessarily mean that it's marketing. And the worst thing we want to do is copy someone so that we, you know, look the same. The first things I'd be looking at doing is what kind of points of difference do you want to be known for in the space? And like you just kind of touched on then, being professional or great customer service should be a given. It just goes without say, like we expect that if we're going to pay any money or any time to anyone, it should be a given. So what I'd say is look for, like, imagine if I was your customer and I'm going to go away and talk to my friend. What if I'm going to say one or two words to my friend about your business? If I'm going to talk about Dr. Jesse Green to my best mate, and I'm not going to spend 15 minutes explaining your business, I'm going to say one or two words. What are the one or two words that you would like me to say to pass on so that you become known as that thing? So then we look for, okay, every touch point you have with any human in relation to your business through any marketing touch points, we're going to then look to reinforce that one or two things that you want to be known for. Sometimes it might be an emotion, like it might be, oh, you're the fun one, you know, the cool one or the fancy one, the upper class that makes me feel, or it could be a specific offering. You want me to say you're the, you know, the guy that does the holes or whatever, you know, a specific product you might be different for the dental industry, but one specific service that you become the go-to for, or it might be a specific problem like, you know, the aches or pains or a want, I want cleaner, fresher, whiter teeth or whatever it is. We're always looking for what's the thing you want to be known for, because you're not going to be known for 15 different things. It's going to be one or two things. And whether that's an emotion that you're known for, whether it's a specific product or service, or whether it's a specific problem that you solve or a desire. So we always look for what's the pre-thought that triggers your brand as a thought. So if I think, you know, specific problem, your brand comes to mind as the solution, or I think specific emotion, your brand comes to mind. And then it doesn't matter if you have a, you know, a ton of competition, we amplify that through every touch point that you have so that you start to become known as that thing. And then basically that becomes reality from there.
And I guess that's kind of creating, yeah, that whole blue ocean strategy in a sense, really, isn't it? That whole category of one, if you're the guy that's known for, or girl that's known for XYZ, yeah, you've hopefully carved out some market space for yourself that's, you know, unique and your own. How do you look to stand out in a crowded marketplace? I know we've spoken about wanting to be known for something, and I get that that's going to be a huge part of the solution. But if you're looking at a crowded marketplace, what else can you do to stand out?
Yes. So first things, we work through a little model where we'd say, first of all, you get clear on your kind of whys, like the whys, like what are people really buying into when they buy your product or service? And what a good thing to just to phrase out could be like, what difference do you want to make for your market? Like, what difference do you want to make here on planet Earth, your business, like big picture purpose? Not, it's not just to work on teeth day to day, but what's that do for people? Maybe it makes them happier and changes people's lives or confidence. And we get clear on these big picture whys. Then we look at who is it that we want to attract through the door. So the perfect ideal customers and the kind of ones that oftentimes we might look at, who are the ones that buy the most lucrative thing for your business, like whatever product or service you offer out of your dentistry services, which ones are the most, you know, have the best margins for you, who buys that? So we get clear on who are they and what are they speaking, what's their pains, frustrations that we can put in the market to connect with them. And then we look at what's going to make you unique or different, like how can we package or bundle you to look like you provide more value to your competitors. Now, based on that, there'll be a lot of different approaches we can take, but we've done lots of really cool things to make people stand out. Like we just did one last week. This is for a veterinary service, but one thing we often do too is we might say, look, let's get people, we'd like to call it talkaboutable. Like you've got to be talkaboutable if you want the world to talk about you. If you don't give the world anything to say, they're not going to say anything. So you got to come up with reasons for people to tell their friend about you. Like if you want the media to talk about your business, you got to give them something to say. So one thing we did recently was we created a price anchor. Price anchor is a super high end, like high ticket item for this vet. They actually have boarding for cats. And they're just all throughout the Australian media just this last week because we made a high end offering to the cat boarding. So it's called Hotel for Cats. And this service offers a super duper high end. They still have their lower end offerings and their veterinary services, but the high-end offering, it includes the cat gets its own room. It's not in a cage. There's French caviar available for the cats. The cats, there's a massage service. I guess there's a butler service where they actually dress up as a butler. There's a chauffeur service to collect the cats and so on. It's a super-duper over-the-top high-end item. And what it does is it makes the business talkaboutable. It makes them newsworthy, basically. So sometimes it might seem ridiculous doing something like this, and they had a bit of resistance around doing it. But we basically help them, you know, create the package and the service. And the point of it is it actually helps sell the lower end offerings. So making sometimes using a price anchor. We did one actually with a cafe as well where they've been in business for 10 years and we made a super high-end toasted sandwich, which basically got them in the – they're based in Perth and they got a half-page story in the Western Australian, which is the biggest newspaper in WA, and it said the headline read "Rich Toasty causing a buzz," and they had their busiest week of sales after this. You know, after 10 years of being in business, based on the back of this. So sometimes it's these kind of quirky things, but it is you got to be brave to be a little bit different and think about, you know, what those things that make you stand out can be really cool way to go about it, of course.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm just curious to ask because I know there'll be someone thinking about this on as they're listening, is using the cat hotel as an example, does that become their core business per se, or is it just an add-on to get the attention and the core business is the veterinary service and the lower end? Or where does that fit into the product mix in terms of percentage-wise or you know, whatever they're doing?
Yeah, good idea. It's a like everything when we look at the way we look kind of typically look at products is it's kind of like every business has a product pyramid shape, I guess. So imagine the lowest end things might be free. Like, for example, you do information as a freebie, which no one pays for. It's low risk to the market. That's at the bottom of the pyramid, the widest segment of the pyramid where the most people will jump on board. The next level up will be paid services with you. Like the bottom might be a blog post, could be a podcast like this. It's information, gets you in front of a bigger market. There'll be a smaller segment who will take the next step. So the pyramid gets narrower. And then we have higher end offerings, which are right at the top, which will have the smallest percentage of the market, of the customer base. So the cat hotel high end offering is right at the top. So it's kind of like over the top. Sometimes you might have very, very few people buy it, maybe even no one. However, the point of it is it'll get you in front of more and more people. If someone does take it up, well, brilliant, because they charge a fortune for it. But it's a small percentage of people that take it. It's like we borrowed this strategy from, like, we're always looking at different industries to bring ideas across. So this initially I seen this strategy in jewelry. And also in handbags, like, for example, Gucci or someone like that will make a $200,000 handbag from time to time. And I'm pretty confident they would lose money when they make these handbags. But what that does is it makes them talk aboutable. It puts them into, you know, the top 10 handbags list of 2017 list. And it creates perception of a world-class item. So suddenly spending $2,000 to $3,000 on a handbag with Gucci, you know, if you've only got to spend $2,000 to $3,000 to get access to the $300,000 handbag club, well, now I'm getting a deal. So even though they might not actually really sell many of those high end items, it creates a perception of a world class brand. It creates a nice contrast there too in terms of pricing. So yeah, it's actually a smaller percentage. You know, I hope that kind of answers the question.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Thanks, mate. And I just wanted to ask, because again, I know there'll be some people listening on the show who are fairly new to their practice and they probably don't have, you know, huge sums of cash floating around in their bank account at the moment. They're just still, you know, working on getting themselves up and running. And they're probably looking for, I suppose, you know, the old guerrilla marketing kind of tactics and things around that. I'm just wondering if you were thinking of some low cost or even no cost marketing ideas that would make a difference to someone just starting out as they're getting their foothold into the market. What sort of thoughts would you be able to share around that?
Yeah, look, if you're selling to anyone, you want to get things in place before, like typically before you go and spend anything anyway, even if you've been in business for 40 years and you make a ton of money. I'd still like, if I was to work, you know, with a business like that in more depth, whether it's early days or not, we look at how we're going to get the quickest return as easy as possible from everything we do, so that then before we go out and spend money or time on attracting new faces, well, we're going to get the most out of it. So I'd always be looking at, if you've got any customers at all, is there a sequence of things that you can offer to people? Like, you obviously want to be providing as much value as possible. You don't want to just sell stuff for the sake of selling. But if you can provide more value, like looking for, if someone comes in, you know, and gets a certain service on their teeth done, what's the next thing you could offer them? And the next thing, like, what, you know, you look at your things, your offerings and your services or your products in terms of sequence. So if you were to sell, you know, people typically come in because they've got a hole in their tooth, what would be the next thing that you could offer that you need to make sure every customer who comes through the door knows about? It could be something like we might do things with a business where we might look at the market and go, okay, look, and this is, you know, it might be different with different practices and things, but let's say the most common thing that someone came to a dentist for was a hole in their tooth. Maybe they could just put it in their marketing resources, you know, feeling a pain and you got a, you know, toothache and you could be holding the tooth, and you market as that thing as the entry point to get people in the door. It might be then looking at, okay, what's more lucrative that we need to make sure every single person who comes through the door knows about, because there will be a percentage of people, not everyone's going to take the next step. It's like looking at that pyramid shape again. So everyone comes in for the hole in their tooth. You know, the next level up is going to be a smaller, a narrower percentage of people that take the next step. but there will be a percentage who will take that next step as long as you let everyone know. So it's looking at your products and your services in sequence, you know, what would be the next smartest, most logical thing to offer. There may be different pathways you have to work out too. Like if someone comes for a hole, the next thing to offer is, you know, tooth whitening or whatever. If someone else comes for something else, then you offer the next thing. So what are the common things that you can offer in sequence to anyone? And of course, something I like to do is initially too with people is call it just a promotion plan. So you look at your year, like you could take a bit of paper, turn it landscape, and you could just write January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, you know, the whole year across the top through to December, and just break them into individual columns. Look at the year and think about when are there seasons to the things that you're already selling? Because whether you know it or not just yet, there'll be seasons to different offerings. So certain things people will buy at certain times of the year, and certain times of the year where people are not as interested. There could be like some, I know some dentists will think of it and think, yeah, but they have a problem and they come whenever they have this specific problem. Even still, even if it's pretty even across the board for certain offerings that you offer, look at it and think when would be good times to do certain promotions, because there's platforms out there too. You can try and if you haven't got the data yet, like you haven't been in business long enough to see this history or you've never paid attention to it, you might need to ask your receptionist, or you could get on to even Google has a tool called Google Trends. You can get on Google Trends and type in, you know, toothache or help with straightening teeth or whatever it is, and it'll show you the seasons that have the most searches and in the locations that have the most searches. And so you could get on there and go, okay, look, it looks like January is the time that people are, you know, looking to, I don't know, do a certain offering. Let's make sure that we promote in the months leading up to, if it was January, whatever that offering is. Then we look at, okay, the down times might be March, April, May, or it's winter or whatever it is. Let's look at that season and go, that's when we'll do an internal promotion. So that's when we'll promote to people who have bought from us in the past, and we won't bother spending money or time on trying to get in front of new faces because they're not as proactively searching during those times. So it's good to have a look and think, when are the seasons of my different offerings? And you might have overlaps with different offerings and things, but it's good to work that out. And, you know, for some people, it's just to give it, you might only need to spend 20 minutes on working this out, and you might see have a little bit of clarity already, which is going to help you kind of give the world what they want when they want it. So that's a good starting place as well.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely really poignant and really pertinent. And for anyone listening, we're having a chat to Christo Hall here from basicbananas.com, and he's just shared some absolute marketing gold there. You know, planning out your promotions over the year, understanding the ebb and flow of your business, and being clear about that. And as you say, Christo, it does vary from place to place. Just wanted to touch on something that I'm always interested in, because you live in the marketing space and you must hear all sorts of things being, you know, bandied around in terms of advice. But what do you see as the worst advice given to small businesses when it comes to marketing? What seems to be the myths that you hear and you go, oh my God, I wish I'd just stop saying that?
The reality is it takes work. I think there's a lot of things out there that are, you know, false hope. Probably in lots of industries, the reality is like there's no quick fix and overnight magic pill. Sure, there are strategies which we might discover or start using which give people a quick spike in sales. However, there's no magical overnight thing. Like it takes work. Also, you know, like the fact that the business owner needs to be across it and needs to have that plan. I think the whole kind of thing around, you know, come and we'll, you know, transform your business overnight. There's garbage kind of, you know, a lot of the things we see around that. Generally, those kind of marketers tend to pop up and disappear, you know, within a year or a couple of years, because, you know, people like to see results and sustainable results. They take work, you know, like I mentioned before, we always have a plan for everything we're doing, where we're doing tried and tested things before we rip into, you know, like being creative and putting our flair on top. There's sustainable things we put in like tried and tested things that we put in sequence, almost like unlocking a combination of code of things to get it work. And it takes work. It takes a bit of focus to get to that point. So not just sitting back and thinking the world will do it. That one sort of like always gets me. It's like, oh no, you know, getting people all pumped up for, you know, something that may not necessarily be a reality. There's also too, I see people miss opportunity. This is a different one. Another one that we see quite often is that people just say, oh, look, you know, you only need online marketing or you only need offline marketing. Well, the reality is there's a lot of opportunity out there that you might not be leveraging if you're only going to stick to one of these approaches. Like online gurus might say, look, it's all about online marketing. That's all you need to make the world work and you can thrive. But the reality is even businesses like Google, they use a lot of offline marketing themselves. You know, they pretty much own online marketing and they're very proactive with offline. So, you know, looking at only one kind of platform, I guess, like that, you can be missing out on a lot of opportunity that we see as well.
Yeah, again, I think we're singing from the same hymn sheet again, Christo, because you know, we see that all the time in dentistry as well. And the other thing I'd add to that, which is a variation of the magic bullet, is that if you pay someone enough money, I don't have to think about it. And ultimately, I always get a bit worried that people are going to do their dough and not be across the marketing as they should be, like the architect, as you mentioned earlier. But I think, you know, there is a bit of a thought process that if I pay someone enough money and hit the magic marketing button, yeah, the doors will just keep revolving with patients coming through. But it just, yeah. just doesn't work that way.
No, it's a scary one. They're just paying it and trying to ignore it can be a massive and costly mistake for a business owner, absolutely.
Yeah, cool. So, Christo, moving on from the mistakes, if you were to give, you know, one or two or even three pieces of advice to, you know, someone listening to the podcast today, just to kind of, if we had a billboard, you know, the gospel of marketing, according to Christo, what would be, you know, two or three things you'd say, okay, these are some starting points and you really kind of need to nail this down?
Okay, so starting points, looking at like to get yourself out there, define first of all, like things I touched on before around who is it you want to attract is going to be number one because you need a message that's going to be appealing to them. What I typically say is you even ask your customers, like get in their heads because the marketing, like a very common mistake that we'll see is people just talk about all about themselves when it comes to their marketing, but all the world cares about is what's in it for me. So you've got to get my attention by kind of equaling my thoughts before you've even earned the right to talk about yourself. So getting the messaging right before you spend a second or a cent on a marketing and pushing campaigns out to the world definitely is going to be key here. What I'd also say to people is as you develop your marketing, you need some sort of central system to collect, you know, your database and grow your contacts. And you should be collecting that data and nurturing it because it becomes like a bank account to you. So what I mean by that is if you have different people who have come and bought different products or services or offerings, segregate them so that when you do promotions in the future, you know who you're talking to, you know what they've had. You need this kind of central place to be able to manage things. Also, the whole thing is about systemizing because if for any marketing to happen, if it always has to pass through your head, it's going to get muddled up in to-do lists like with everything else. And, you know, you become like a bottleneck in terms of the marketing's flow. So as we do anything in terms of a new campaign, we document and we systemize everything. So like, for example, one arm in our business, just at the start of last year, we kind of moved too much. Myself and Francisco, who are business partners, husband and wife team, we look after marketing. We'd map it out. So we architect things. We go, here's the strategy. Here's what we want to do. And we might roll through it and have our focus on it. And then we move it to a team member or to a software to remove ourselves because you can't always, you know, be adding to your own to-do list if you want to be expanding your reach. So we moved too much to Agatha, one of our team members. And then start of last year, she says, guys, I'm overloaded, you know, I'm freaking out here, can't keep up, you know. And so then basically we've systemized, we've processed and recorded how we do each thing. Like if it's publishing a podcast, here's how you do it. If it's publishing a blog, here's how we do it. If it's putting something on social media, here's how we do it. We'd moved enough to her that then she's overloaded. Then suddenly we got her an assistant who's Heidi. Heidi could then, all those systems can be just be tagged across to Heidi's to-do list. So suddenly Aga doesn't have to retrain her and go waste her time spending hey's how to do it. It's all processed, documented and systemized. So then actually mid last year, we got Heidi for Aga mid last year, and then recently towards the end of the year, we actually got Steffi for Heidi, and now we've got Ivy for Steffi.
Oh wow!
So there's actually kind of a few layers there where they're doing things exactly as we want it done because we architected, we're across it, and then we move it off our to-do list and off our plate. However, you need the system, you need to document things, you need to process, record processes and so on to be able to move that those things in the first place. So it doesn't matter if it's early days and you're like, look, I'm a team of one, start systemizing it and process, like documenting it exactly what you're doing. So you can pass it on, you know, as your to-do list becomes too full is also key there, absolutely, as well.
Yeah, and what I really love there, Chris, so you've just perfectly described the concept of having a marketing system rather than doing marketing. And I think that's, you know, really epic and you know, love the way you've mapped it out so strategically and been able to delegate and automate as much as possible. Hey, Christo, I wanted to take a moment because, you know, you've been really generous with your time and I know you're actually in Canberra visiting the national capital, all of us down here. I hope the cold weather hasn't bitten you too badly, but I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you from all of us here at the Savvy Dentist Podcast. We are really grateful for the marketing insights you've shared with us. If people want to find out more about you and what you do, where's the best place for them to go?
The best thing to do is visit basicbananas.com is our main website. And the best way to, I guess, get the most value from us would be checking out the Marketing Blast Off workshop. We run a half-day workshop. They're all around Australia. They happen in Canada as well and in the States. And soon to be the UK. And check out when one's coming up in a city near you. You can find the link to the Marketing Blast Off workshop on basicbananas.com.
Hey, mate, listen, once again, thanks so much for the time you've taken today. And I really hope you enjoy your stay here in Canberra and hope you haven't frozen too much.
I'm looking forward to getting back to the ocean. So I'm flying out tonight back to go for back to my surfing home.
Yeah, back to Manly. All right, mate. Well, have a great trip. And once again, really appreciate the time you've taken with us all today and your gem. And for everyone listening, yeah, we salute you, Christo. And thanks so much for your insights and wisdom today.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.